I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are joined again by the wonderful, amazing, lovely, kind, super wonderful person, Chrissy, who is a member of our team. So Chrissy, welcome. We love having you join us for these conversations and love having the extra mom to give one more piece of the dimensions of what it looks like to heal from these various different things that kids and parents sometimes too with pans and pandas deal with as they are recovering. So welcome and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
All right, ladies. So let's start again by talking about our experiences that we're going to share from the personal side about the homeopathic healing of anxiety. And let's make sure, I know that we've all got some of our own personal experiences where we can talk about this. So let's make sure we are differentiating if we're talking about our pans, what we see in pans, what we see in non-pans, and all of that. Okay. So who would like to start with sharing a little bit about their experience of anxiety with their family or themselves? I see Jody hiding.
Jody's running away. I will go first then. So yeah, you're right. This is a symptom that both my son and myself had during the healing journey. And for me, it was a very, very long-standing symptom. I've always had anxiety to some varying degrees since the moment I can remember memories. Like I've always had it. But I think for me, going through something so hard like PANS with my son, just really, it went off the rails at that point. So for me, just a lot of thought spirals, worries, worry, fear, not sleeping, social fears. This is embarrassing, but I wasn't driving at the point of my early healing because I was terrified to drive. It was very odd, but I drive all the time now. But I was just had this really elevated paralyzing anxiety. For my son, for him, anxiety was one of the last symptoms that I felt like I really saw and really elevated. So it was one of the first symptoms to start to heal for him. Mm-hmm. But for him, it was much different. He had panic attacks. He felt like he couldn't breathe. He couldn't get a breath in. Lots of worries too, though. What if dad gets in a car accident and doesn't come home? What if a black widow spider bites me? What if a burglar comes in? Like, these are all things he said. And so a lot of worry and fear with him too. But the manifestation of anxiety for him was, I can't breathe. For me, it was almost like internal shakes. Like I felt this, like I felt vibrating in thought loops. Yeah, we definitely both experienced this to varying degrees.
I know you said that you're embarrassed to share, Chrissy, but I'm really glad that you just shared that because I know people personally that aren't driving right now. And so you sharing, being vulnerable and sharing your thing that feels embarrassing to you could potentially be the thing that helps somebody understand that there is help out there, that there's something that can help them move past it and actually heal from it and not have, you know, completely put it in the past. So I appreciate that you shared that.
Thank you.
So right when we first started, I was like, I don't remember anxiety. I don't remember that being a big part of Avery's. And then like, as you were talking, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my gosh, separation anxiety.
Yep.
Like ruled our world completely. Like that is, we were there. And that was one of the earlier things too. And also too, one of the earlier things I remember from her was whether it was happening or not, there was this whole like story in her head about what was going on with friends at school and not Avery not being included, which in the beginning, I don't think was happening, but then it turned into it was happening because it got awkward. But outside of school time, she spent a lot of time being really anxious about what was happening with her friend group. And then also, too, she had a thing with anxiety about something happening to dad, like dad, you know, having a bit more dangerous job something happening with him at work and all the ways that she like stressed about that. And then maybe we'll talk about this later, you know, a little bit of anxiety that popped up after she was recovered, mm-hmm. because I always want to talk about that type stuff because that's just life and wasn't pans. And then there's me, and I have grown up in a world that I didn't necessarily felt like I fit in, because I have always been such a strong ADD kiddo and now ADD adult, even though it's better thanks to homeopathy. But there's just anxiety with that. Like, I fully feel anxiety from my childhood about being asked to read something, being asked to do math in my head, having my child ask me to help with a math problem. And like, I still feel that. It is something that homeopathy's helped me with, because when my girls switched over to doing the kind of hybrid thing that they're doing now, like, I remember sitting at the table with Avery trying to help her with math, and I started crying because it felt so much like when I was a little kid and I was expected to do this thing and I just couldn't, and I couldn't help myself. And she's like, oh my gosh, mom, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And I was just like, this anxiety feels, I felt this in my whole childhood because I couldn't do things. It's not as bad anymore. And then of course I had just an absolute dump truck load of anxiety with my girls. First, my youngest, when she was born, she was sick. The whole process, I had anxiety so bad from it. And then I think I also have some driving anxiety. It's not debilitating. I'm still able to drive, but I feel like I bounce back and forth with anxiety and intrusive thoughts whenever I'm driving. And that has gotten better with me doing my own healing. But it's still there and something I'm still working on. But it's also been there for a really long time. So I think that's all.
Yeah. So the most prominent symptom that we see with anxiety for PANS and PANDAS kids is separation anxiety. So I was like, Jody, are you kidding me that you don't have anxiety? Because you definitely had separation anxiety. And the separation anxiety can also be mixed with rage. As so many things with PANS PANDAS, it's kind of hard to separate them. I think every single one of these episodes that we've done so far, we have mentioned other symptoms that are tied and connected together. So anxiety can really, really show up, especially in young children, as separation anxiety, because the parents, especially moms, are the protector, the safe space, and going out into the world where they feel like they are not safe for whatever reason because of the anxiety that they're having. It often manifests initially with separation anxiety. We do see separation anxiety for most people start to improve relatively quickly. Would you guys like, was that your experience? Or Chrissy, did you really have much separation anxiety with your son?
A little bit. It was more, he didn't like to be alone, period. It didn't matter where he was. He attended school. He did all the things. But anxiety in general was one of the first things that started to get better with both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anxiety tends to be one that moves a little bit faster. Sorry, go ahead, Jody.
No, that's okay. I think ours went pretty quickly too. I remember right when we first started homeopathy, I think we were kind of at the point where it was like separation anxiety 3.0, because at first it was just like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But then it was like, I couldn't be in another room. Like, I couldn't walk into the laundry room and change out the laundry. She needed me in the room she was in the entire time, and I couldn't get anything done. And I feel like really early on, I remember walking out of her bedroom into the kitchen and I started unloading the dishwasher, and I was like, my gosh, she's in her room. Like, I very distinctively remember like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? What's happening right now? And that was pretty early.
Well, anxiety does tend to move a little on the faster side to heal. That said, it's not going to be, oh, great, first remedy or first remedy that's helping the anxiety is completely resolved. We're still going to see the 2 to 3 steps forward, 1 step back, another 2 to 3 steps forward, and 1 step back. Anxiety is more likely to be one of the symptoms that can take 5 or 6 steps forward and 1 step back, and another 5 or 6 steps mm-hmm. forward, 1 step back. And I'm seeing nodding that you guys are agreeing that was your experience, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so what we typically see here is not that anxiety is necessarily gone, but that we are, that the kiddo is able to manage it more effectively. Like they are able to access their coping skills better. And so they might still be nervous, but they're willing to fight what their brain is saying. And they're willing to go and try something that they're feeling nervous about, or they might be still feeling a bit anxious and they're able to go to school. So it's not debilitating, or they're able to be in a separate room. They might not still want you to leave the house, but being in a separate room is okay. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And then we often then see as the child is both healing and maturing, because they're both happening at the same time, that they get greater access to understand what they're feeling and can oftentimes give more specific details. When they're younger and earlier in the process, especially if the anxiety is pretty profound, we sometimes can't even explain it. We just know physically in our body that we feel anxious, but we don't know why. We don't even know what we're afraid of. We don't know what is making us feel anxious. We just know something in our body says, I'm afraid. I don't know why, but I don't feel like I'm safe. Mm-hmm. And so when we're in the early stages, we don't necessarily need to know, oh, this is anxiety and this is what they're thinking or whatever. It's more, what are you seeing and what are you feeling? And so being able to connect with your child about what they're feeling in their body, or you, if you're the one that's feeling anxiety, because I don't know a single PANS parent that doesn't feel some amount of anxiety, that the feeling that you are experiencing that tells you this is, I'm feeling anxious, that is pretty important. You know, are you feeling cold? Are you feeling hot? Do you feel it in your stomach? Do you feel it in your chest? Do you get really, really restless and agitated? Do you get really, really slow? Does your brain stop working, or does it go on overdrive? All of these kinds of things can really be helpful in finding the remedy that's going to help get you to that next step and help you take 2 to 3 or 5 to 6 steps forward, so that even when you have these things start to arise, that you can manage through them or cope through them more effectively. So with all symptoms, we're looking for changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. And this is nowhere more true than anxiety. Anxiety and rage, these two, like they're not necessarily just going to go away, but they're going to make bigger steps forward than some of the other symptoms of PANS pandas faster. And we're looking always still changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. So while our goal is to make the anxiety for the most part go away so that it's not going to never show up again, as Jody will definitely talk about it at the end, managing anxiety in like healed space, because anxiety is just part of being human. But we don't want it to be a regular companion. So I'm curious for you guys, what your experience, I'm guessing you've not talked to your kids about this because you didn't know I was going to ask you this, but I'm curious if your experience was that your physical feelings of anxiety settled first before the thinking part of anxiety settled.
That is a really good question. I don't know. I feel like they both just kind of baby stepped their way kind of in tandem together, because like I do remember early on in the healing journey, like I was to the point where I would be in a dead sleep and shoot up in bed, just heart pounding, like fight or flight and my thought was, I would think, is my son in my room? Like, I don't know why, but it was like, we had sleep issues for so long. And like, I'm in that space. And so that feeling, that you're describing, rather than the thoughts, the feeling, that's where my mind goes, is when I was in that space where it was like, I wasn't even thinking, I was asleep. And the feeling is what, you know, woke me up. Mm-hmm. So that started getting better. Well, I guess because we just talked about OCD in another episode, I guess it would be the feeling of it that got better first, because then those thoughts were still kind of spiraling in that way for a while. So I guess, yeah, talked to that and figured it out. Yes.
I'm still trying to figure it out right now. I think for me personally, like my thought process got better. I don't know if I'm answering this right, but like when I feel it, and I'm like, whatever the anxiety happens to be about,
like I could think through what I was feeling and be like, okay, this isn't really that big of a deal. And then my mind could kind of slowly start to calm my body down. And I still have that sometime too. I have a pretty heavy overlap between anxiety and like the feeling of overwhelm. And so I feel like my mind started to get in a place where I was like able to calm myself down a little bit. So it was my mind. Am I answering that right?
Yeah. Okay. And that's actually not surprising to me, especially since a good portion of your anxiety stems from ADD. So it makes sense that having more clarity in your thinking would shift the physical response versus the physical response no longer triggering the feeling. And so this is really great to share just because it's going to be different for different people, you know, so you might see that your physical reaction is going to settle first and that can then not be triggering the thoughts as much in your brain, that the anxious thoughts, like trying to figure out why you feel anxious. Or it could be the opposite, that you're still having the physical feelings, but you're able to cognitively work through what's going on and help settle it. So what I'm hearing ultimately from both of you and what I've seen with so many kids that we've helped and myself too, is that what healing looks like is the ability to access your coping strategies more effectively.
Yes.
And absolutely. So it just unlocks it and opens it up. So whatever coping strategy you need that works best for how your body's responding is what typically is going to come about. So you might see your kids asking for more help with something when they're feeling anxious and seeking out specific support or seeking out advice for how to navigate a challenging situation. So usually we're going to see anxiety start to really resolve on the earlier side. You know, the time frame is going to be different for different people. Some people it's going to be miraculous and within the first few weeks to months of their first remedy, anxiety is going to seem to resolve. And we're going to just have some other stuff that we're dealing with. For some people, it's going to be more longstanding. We also need to remember that with homeopathy, as Jody was mentioning, that we are only going to help people be the best version of themselves, the selves that they can possibly be. It's not going to make them superhuman. It's not going to make them so that they don't have any emotions and that they don't have, you know, reactions to their emotions. So let's go ahead and just dive in there and like talk a little bit about what anxiety. Actually, before we do that, I'm going to interrupt myself and I'm going to go backwards just a minute, because anxiety is one of those symptoms that I think is vital to say. Projection of your experience onto your child and calling something anxiety that they have not actually defined as anxiety is not helpful. And in fact, in some places can be harmful. And when it comes to finding the correct homeopathic remedy. So it's really, really important if your child is not sharing that they're anxious about something, or that you're not seeing that we just don't call things anxiety if we don't know for sure that that's what it is. You know, some people will say that, you know, they see they're chewing on a fingers or chewing on a shirt or something. Well, is it anxiety or is it, you know, boredom, or is it, you know, sensory seeking? Like there's lots of different things it could be. So it's important to not call something anxiety because maybe it's how you feel when you're anxious or what you do when you're anxious. We need to just really be cautious about that. And for whatever reason, anxiety is the one that seems to be the most common that I see that people are labeling I'd say a good amount of time though, labeling incorrectly. And we find out later when we finally reach the point that we've managed to wade our way through enough progress that the child's willing to or able to communicate more clearly and share what's actually happening. And nope, it's not anxiety. It's something else completely.
Yeah. It's really hard not to do that though. Like I still find myself doing it. Like, why do we always feel like we have to fit stuff into a category? And anxiety is an easy one to call or like mislabel it a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I know I did a lot of that.
And I think we as parents can sometimes project, like you said, how we're feeling onto our kids because we feel it and we feel like everybody feels it that way. It's just not, that's not it. Everybody feels things differently. And just because something makes us anxious or something they're doing, it, that doesn't mean that they're feeling it that way either. So
I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, you know, that anxious feeling. And I'm like, well, here's what I feel when I'm anxious. And they're like, oh no, that's not what I feel. And I'm like, okay, so what do you feel? So it's really important to remember, just because it can inadvertently lead you down the wrong path. So the best way that you can challenge yourself to not do this is to just ask yourself anytime you're labeling something and saying, what does this symptom mean? Or what is this symptom? First and foremost, the symptom is what you see. We don't need to translate it into something, just what you see. That's what you need to tell your homeopath. And the second, that alone is not always going to be useful because we're humans and we're going to go with our patterns and we want to label things. We want to understand things. We want to be able to explain it. And so when you still just get stuck, well, this has to be anxiety. This is anxiety, or this is what's going on in this instance. Ask yourself, but could it be something else? Or get creative. What else could it be? And if there is anything else it could be, then you don't know for sure it's anxiety. And you can still communicate with your provider. You can say, I think this is anxiety and I don't know for sure.
That's what I was going to say, is just report the symptom as you see it. Don't even label it. Like, just, hey, this is what I'm seeing. What could that be? I've done that so many times with our providers that it's just like, I don't know if this is a symptom. I don't know if this is helpful. I don't know what to call this, but here's what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's usually more helpful, in fact, than assuming that it's something.
All right. So let's shift back to where I shifted us away from, which is managing and navigating anxiety when you have gotten to the place that you've recovered from PAN, so that it's not necessarily an inflammation driven situation and it's not a constant companion, but we're humans and it's still showing up.
Yeah. I think this was like, to start off with, it was me like being sure that homeopathy was going to fix everything and it was going to like perfect Avery. And also too, like, I blame that on homeopathy because she was such a cool, like, different version of herself whenever she came out of homeopathy. And I don't know, I just had sort of unrealistic expectations. And it felt like, oh, homeopathy can fix any and everything. And she's great and she's doing good. And so after she got recovered, there's been a couple of times where she's gone into some anxiety where, like, now looking back at it, I'm like, duh, it was like totally warranted. She was going through things that kids would get anxious about. She got to the point where she was, you know, having a little bit of panic attacks and all of the things. Now, obviously we used homeopathy to help, but it was so hard for me. My own post-traumatic stress was like, oh my gosh, this is PANS, freaking out. It wasn't PANS. It was just anxiety. And she was in middle school at the time and she was going through tough stuff. And I think that's just such a normal, now I understand, it's such a normal, like, kids go through anxiety. Kids with zero PANS in their lives ever go through anxiety. Adults go through anxiety. And it was, again, how lovely is homeopathy, because it was able to just, you know, help get her past that. But also too, it wasn't PANS. It was just anxiety.
I think that that is where the parent healing really comes into play here. Yeah. Because, and or therapy, you know, for the parent, because PANS just really, it skews our view of normal. It just does. Everything looks like an emergency. Everything looks like PANS. Everything looks like a symptom. And not only does that, like I said, skew our view of the situation, but it prevents us in a way from being able to help our kid through that moment, because we're looking at it from this panic lens, like, oh my God, I can't believe this, rather than, you know, sitting down and being like, it's normal to have these feelings from time to time. Like, I was always in that panic, like, we have to fix it. And I think that that's, you know, one of the quote unquote gifts that PANS gives you is being able to look at things more objectively. And you've gone through hard things and now you're on the other side and you can enjoy on the other side. Like you can relax a little bit, and it's really a beautiful thing.
I'm so glad that you bring this up, Chrissy, because for me, like Dr. Barr, you told me over and over, you need to do your own healing. You need to do your own healing. And I like the whole time I was like, I'm fine. I'm good. And I never did it while Avery was healing, but then I eventually did. And it is so wild how doing your own healing changes your response to what is going on, your children's symptoms, the management. It's made it a whole lot easier to work through hard stuff with my younger daughter. She's still healing. My response to it is different. It's and it really does change the tone of things. And like you were talking about earlier, like kids feed off of our anxiety. And boy, man, it is. If I had to do it all over again, I would do my own healing as my kid was healing, because it really does give you the ability not to get sucked down into things, not to be so anxious about things that might be potentially coming the next minute, hour, day, week, whatever. So important. I think I'm kind of going off into left field, but
no, where you're going, I think is really connected to my next thought, which is that bridge that needs to be built between you wanting to protect your child and being able to recognize, is this PANS or is this life? And the reality that until you are feeling calm and regulated for the most part yourself, it is probably going to be hard to recognize that your child having anxiety show up again does not necessarily mean that their brain is being attacked by the immune system again. And we can get into this place when we're trying to help kids recover from PANS that we just want them to feel good. And it's understandable because they felt so bad for so long that you just want them to feel nothing but good. And even if you've never dealt with PANS, like what parent doesn't want their kid to just have like perfect life and never have anything bad or hard happen to them? And it's also unrealistic. And so I think that one of the things that we need to remember for all of us is that when we are feeling anxiety and we can look in our circumstances and what's going on, if we can say other people are feeling anxiety in the same situation or would be feeling anxiety if they were put in my shoes, then it's probably a normal response that homeopathy might not actually help much with. It has to get beyond like a normal response for it to be something that homeopathy can help with. It's because it's not suppressive and it's not palliative. You can have a normal anxiety situation and take a benzodiazepine and suppress the heck out of it. You could have a normal anxiety situation and take herbal medicine and suppress the heck out of it, or theanine, or any of these things that, you know, we can take. But what we miss when we do that is we miss the opportunity to understand what the anxiety is trying to tell us. Our emotions bring information to us. And so because homeopathy is not suppressive, you can use it if it's getting, you know, if the anxiety is really challenging. The most that homeopathy is likely to do, if it is a normal response to a specific situation or things that are happening, then homeopathy will help you access your coping skills and like help basically bring the emotion mind and the rational mind together to wise mind more effectively. Homeopathy can help with that if you're having trouble accessing it. But it's not necessarily going to make the anxiety go away if the anxiety is there as a normal response to give you information about something that needs attention.
Yeah. I'm glad that you bring up the medication part of it, because I have in the past talked to a lot of parents who are really like freaked out about starting homeopathy because they're like, I don't want to stop my kid's medication. I don't, like, everything's going to go crazy. And, you know, there's this really lovely dance, I feel like, in homeopathy where you can start on the medication your child is on. So you're not causing, like, getting off meds and causing a big flare up. And you're able to get started with homeopathy, work through some healing, get things a little bit better, and then start talking about your provider about what that wean looks like. So it can be done smoother and easier, and you don't have to cold turkey, just go like rip the Band-Aid off and run. I've talked to moms in the past who have told me that it was just such a, like, you know, they
saw improvement. And then they had a feeling, talked to their provider, or their provider came and talked to them first and was like, okay, it's time, talk with your local provider, whoever's managing, and let's do this together. And then it was just like a slow, nice, smooth wean off of the medication and just to full on homeopathy.
Yeah. So. And it's one of those things that psych meds in particular, if we're talking about anxiety and you know, the SSRIs or SNRIs or benzodiazepines, which are sadly being used a little bit more in little kids with PANS, that they come with a lot of challenges when you're weaning off, and homeopathy, doing them together, doing it low and slow and using homeopathy alongside it can help really reduce the risks of withdrawals and the side effects and symptoms that can come as part of the withdrawal process. I mean, some of them can be shocking and surprising to people sometimes too, including like brain zaps, like literally feeling like there's like welding happening in your brain that can happen when coming off of SSRIs in particular, and just some of the various symptoms. Homeopathy can help address the withdrawal symptoms, address the transition so that your body can have the opportunity to have an appropriate balance of neurotransmitters and hormones and all of the things that go into playing, impacting how we feel, so that your body has that ability to navigate and regulate that on its own without the biochemical force, so that you can get the experience of seeing what's happening around you and take the information that you need to move forward. And the reality is that anxiety and other emotions, when we are in a healthy space, when we can access coping strategies, and when we are not having it driven by inflammation, it can help us grow substantially. And it can be a really vital component of becoming the best human we possibly can be, because it helps us learn how to figure out, well, maybe a little earlier, about certain things like that we would read in social relationships or about the environment that we're around, like what is actually safe, what is not safe, that kind of thing. So it's a really useful tool if we are able to lean in with it not overtaking us, using homeopathy when it's starting to overtake us. This is, again, when we're in the healed space, when we're not in the, I am suddenly incredibly anxious out of nowhere because I had a strep exposure at school, right? It's a different space.
Yeah. I think this is a tough one for us, though, like our age. Chrissy, I think you're a little younger than we are, but like, we're just now learning about this. I feel like the whole like feelings and emotions, and like, they're all good signs. They're all good things, healthy things. Or maybe it's just me.
No,
it's all healthy things.
It's not just you.
It's like all of us. Like, this has become a more of a conversation, which I love, because it is, it's such good information. And I love that I know it through, I've learned it through you, Dr. Barr, and through homeopathy, because what a cool thing to be able to teach our kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that's awesome. I'm again going off into left field, but I think it's I'm so happy with the time that we're in as far as learning about emotions and feelings, and you know, not having to suppress them, but to be able to learn from them and be able to teach our children that they're healthy and okay.
But we have to know that they're healthy and okay for that to be the case. Because like I said in our episode, I believe it was our OCD episode, where I said, like, if you are afraid of something, you're afraid to talk to your child about it, then you're teaching them that it's something to be afraid of too. And they get a lot of cues from us. All right. Final thoughts on the homeopathic healing of anxiety.
Just that it can heal, right? And whether you're somebody, you know, that has PANS or not, I think that a lot of people, especially now with social media and the way the world is and everything going on, a lot of people are experiencing anxiety. And how beautiful is it that we have something like homeopathy that can address that? It's amazing.
I think my advice is the same as it was in our OCD episode that we did. Is it's a tough one, and I'm thinking more about along the separation anxiety, or you know, kiddos that are having like anxiety with contamination and stuff like that. It's a hard space to be in, and it's, while it can resolve quicker, nothing ever resolves quick enough because we want it gone yesterday. And so if you're there, if you're sitting in it, just keep doing your thing. Keep going to your follow-up appointments. Keep reporting what you're seeing, not what you're feeling, just what you're seeing, and keep taken baby steps forward and slowly it will resolve and get better. And then you're going to see it again a little bit and it's going to feel like the end of the world, but it's not. It's just, again, more signs for your provider, more information for your provider in order to keep things moving forward. And then eventually it will fade away into the past and you're going to have a follow-up appointment and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen that in 3 weeks. And it's amazing. I didn't even realize it. So just keep moving forward and working at it and things will get better.
All right. Thanks, ladies, for coming and sharing your experience, both with your kids and your personal experience. And hopefully this helps some people have some better expectation or better understanding of what might be coming as they are working through healing anxiety for themselves or for their kids when they're dealing with PANS and PANDAS. All right. Well, we'll see you guys for more chats about what it looks like to heal all the different aspects of PANS and PANDAS with homeopathy. So take care, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.